Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Coming up at 6:45, it's Friday. You know, I believe we ought to be a little more positive going into what will be, if the forecast holds, the best weekend we've had all year. So later, in line with that thought of being more positive, Time Magazine this week has five world leaders who are less popular than Donald Trump. So I think we could take some joy in that.
Oh, there you go.
So we'll get to that. Remind me or I'll forget.
You said less popular.
Less popular.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the more popular list, I mean, that's 10 shows. See what you made me do?
Uh-huh.
6:45. If you're like me, you coached your kids throughout their growing up years and loved almost every minute of it. We all want the best for our kids in sports, but it seems like now more than ever, we've gone over the top. I mean, I remember 10 years ago with Ross literally having to ask a couple of fathers and a couple of mothers, moms have never been louder, to not come. And one father actually had a folding chair. He'd sat down the right field line like he was the human foul pole because he was just making his kid cry, you know, just cranking him up too much. So are we over-professionalizing, or are we professionalizing in general youth sports? Nice enough to join us at this early hour is Dr. Bradley Dunlap. I can talk about this rising epidemic. Is epidemic too strong a word?
I don't think it is. I think this is a trend that's been happening for a number of years, and we're seeing kids at a younger and younger age just choosing one sport to play at the expense of other sports, and I think that has certainly some detrimental effects both physically and potentially mentally as well.
Now, you deal with the physical at North Shore in orthopedic and sports medicine. What are the injuries you're seeing now that you wouldn't have seen 20 years ago?
Well, certainly we're seeing, and this isn't just anecdotal, there's studies to back this up.
Well, you're a scientist. You can't be anecdotal.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
But certainly lower extremity overuse injuries, so knee injuries, foot and ankle injuries. And then certainly in the baseball and softball world, we'll see more throwing injuries. So overuse shoulder, overuse elbow injuries. There's this entity called Little Leaguer's shoulder and Little Leaguer's elbow, which are stress fractures across the growth plate. So this is literally, in some respects, a kid throwing his arm off his body. So the good news is the answer is rest. The problem is it's harder than you would think to get sometimes these kids to rest.
We had pitch counts. We were one of the first generations 10 years ago, and the first leagues maybe 10 to 15 years ago to have pitch counts. But that must mean kids, even if you're going by the rules, are practicing at home a lot.
Right. They're practicing at home, and then these pitch counts as well tend to be league-specific. And so if someone's maybe playing in a couple different leagues, the onus really becomes on the parents, in some respects, the kid, to enforce that, which is hard to do. And, you know, there's more and more single-sport facility training facilities that are out there. And so, you know, you don't need to be throwing 100 pitches in December if you're a 12-year-old kid.
Do you see too much? I mean, I know so many parents have their kids in, you know, three activities a day, you know, for the girls, softball, gymnastics, ballet, for the guys, football. Is that too much? And if so, at what age should you start to dissipate that and focus on one or two of your favorites?
Well, in some ways, we're actually looking for different sports because, you know, those sports you mentioned might work different things. So someone who's playing softball is going to use their shoulder a lot, but maybe in gymnastics you're using their legs and their core. So in that respect, they're actually developing different gross motor skills and actually probably are preventing overuse type injuries because they're doing different sports. I think at that young age, you're actually looking for different sports. Now, maybe you change those seasons up a little bit so you're not doing, you know, four or five things a day. But, you know, if your kid's having fun, I think at the end of the day, that's what you're looking for. Probably when you get to high school, maybe you look at doing more single sport specialization. But early on, I would just to look at doing multiple sports in different seasons.
So it's okay to do multiple sports, but just in moderation?
I think it's great. You just have to plan a sport. If you're, you know, you take different seasons and you say this is the sport for this season, this is the sport for this season, and it lets these kids develop different skills. And again, it prevents burnout from a certain sport.
And look, here's the hard thing, and I want to get Dave in here because Dave needs some help on his splitter. The hard thing is you have dreams for your kids, and you're well intended in almost all cases for parents, but the chance that your child is going to grow up and make their living as a professional athlete is really, really small. And I think if you wrap your head around, I mean, I preach this all the time, and I wasn't the first person to say this. It's not about you. It's about your kids. Learn the game. Have fun. play hard, have fun. So when I come back, I want to talk. I want to get Dave in here, and I think Sandberg wanted to ask a question as well. But I also want to ask you about hockey because that's your home game.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, so we'll do that in just a second. More coming up on Professionalizing Kids Sports. .654 and I'm talking about your kids and you, Dr. Bradley Dunlop, North Shore Orthopedics Institute, orthopedic surgeon, sports medicine specialist at North Shore, team physician at Evanston Township High School, president of the Youth Hockey Association there, and pretty good hockey player in his own right. Where'd you play in college?
Yale.
So,
you know, that slacker school.
Yeah, because I actually called hockey. The first thing I ever did in sports radio, I was a color guy in hockey even before I knew what I was talking about. At, 20. I guess I was 20, calling Cornell games. I remember a couple Cornell-Yale games. When did you graduate?
1998. Yeah, Cornell was they used to throw the newspapers on the
Yeah. And at Yale, sometimes they would stop. Like, you know, they'd get an odd man breakout, and they'd stop because they had to study. They would pull up in a circle.
We got a Yale guy here with the Blackhawks. John Hayden just came up and played a couple games.
It's true. What position were you?
Forward.
Forward.
Defensive forward.
So I was going to say goal scorer?
Couldn't score.
Dig him out of the corner.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's talk about hockey, because hockey, youth hockey, thanks to the Blackhawks, has never been bigger. What do you want youth hockey parents to hear?
Well, you're right. It's incredible the number of people that are playing hockey. But yeah, it's a seasonal game. I mean, there's no reason to be playing hockey all year round. And you know, I've seen some kids that are they're great hockey players. You get them off the ice, they can't throw a ball, they can't run, they can't move, and you think, gosh, this kid needs to sign up for baseball, lacrosse, soccer, something else, and instead their parents sign them up for three more hockey camps. And you really want to become a better – if you're going to become a better hockey player, become a better athlete. There's no coach that doesn't want a better athlete to become – you're going to be a better hockey player if you're a better athlete. I think that's true for all sports.
No question about it. Dave?
Two questions. First of all, I want to get back to pitching. At what age – is there still debate over at what age a kid should be throwing a curveball? And also, with all these changes designed to police concussions better, are they working?
Well, first about the curveballs, there's not really a defined age. I mean, certainly we're looking at teenage years before you're looking at throwing curveballs. The amount of stress that puts on an arm just predisposes you to those injuries we were talking about earlier with the elbow and shoulder. But definitely looking at into your teenage or even your high school years before you're looking at doing that.
Okay.
In terms of concussions, I think we're doing a much better job in terms of concussion awareness. And the problem with concussions is it's such a self-reported issue. So education is going to be the biggest thing in terms of educating participants, players, coaches, parents. Those are the things that we need to do. And I think we've done a phenomenal job. Obviously, there's a long way to go because at the end of the day, we don't really know what the future holds. We're looking at all these CTE, these traumatic encephalopathy issues. And those are the things that we don't know where this ends up.
Do you find a lot of parents push their kids into the sports that they wanted to do? Dad is a big hockey fan or football fan, and maybe, little Johnny wants to play tennis or golf or something like that.
Yes, and I'm guilty, too. I have two of my kids playing hockey, but I think they do. I think it's a natural thing. You're aware of it. You know what's going on. Though sometimes...
Are you aware of it, though? Are the parents listening to that?
That's a good question. I think you're aware of that sport, so you know what's involved with that sport. It's familiar, so it's an easy thing to get your kid into. I find watching my kid play soccer is much more enjoyable because I don't know anything about soccer, and I just sit there and cheer them on, whereas watching them play hockey, I'm a little bit more critical, and it's not quite as enjoyable parent experience.
Well, I got to tell you, and it's funny because I know Ross listens to the podcast every day, and I love golf and used to be decent. Those days are gone. But it breaks my heart, might be a little strong, but it bothers me that I think I ruined golf for him because when he was playing golf as a kid, I didn't make it fun, because he was a good athlete and a good baseball player and was interested in other things. And I thought, man, it's so much you and me on a golf course. And he's a little kid. We used to close it down. We'd play till dark and all that. But I remember when we played together, like you're talking about with your kids, I'd get stressed out and I'd say something about his swing or whatever. Right. And I just think I didn't make it fun for him. And now, he'll play a couple times a year, but that's only because, he knows I'd like him to. Right. And it's time. I mean, we have a great relationship. It's time for us. But, I just feel like that's a real world example like you're talking about. You could ruin hockey for your kids. Maybe I ruin golf for my kid, that type of thing.
Right. And you think about it as a parent, why did you sign your kid up to play a sport at age 5 or 6? Probably to get him some exercise, get him some friends, let him have some fun. And then something happens along those next 10 years where the mindset has totally changed. And so how do we get back to that mindset? Hey, my kid's out there having fun. Really, you want to tell your kids, I love watching you play soccer. I love watching you play lacrosse. Instead of saying, boy, you should have done this. You should have hustled here. You should have done this. Being less critical and just letting them
play hard. Play hard, have fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, play hard, play, have fun, and be a good sport. And Dave, you can speak to this too before we let you go. There's another lesson that I think goes with all this, aside from the physical side, Doc, and that is, we talked about this off the air. Yeah. The time you have with your kids up until they're 18 might seem like forever. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, is it ever?
Yeah, and when it's gone, you miss it and you look back. So as you go into another summer of 75 league games and a travel schedule that's going to keep you in a car going from one game to another, I don't know that that's quality time. And you might want to look back and go, what if we had 2 weeks at the lake? Or what if we took a vacation here and there? I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying maybe learn from the rest of our mistakes at different times.
I completely agree. And we're just talking about one child. Let's say you have other children that are doing this, and now the families are split. And so I have kids that play travel sports. All three of my kids do. So I'm certainly a believer in travel sports and working hard and really working at one sport. But you need to have a balance, like you said. You need to be able to not spend a Memorial Day weekend at all these different tournaments for whatever it is. So,
well, Doc, you're good. The next hockey injury I have, I'm coming to you.
Fair enough.
North Shore Orthopedic Institute, thank you for that as well, and the work you're doing there and the work you're doing with the kids in Evanston. You want to say your kids' names? You know, you can get some credit.
Say hi to Will, Abby, and Ella.
Okay, there you go. Cool. Nice to see you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Come back with the news next on 7. Oh, you got a website or something we should plug if you want more information maybe at North Shore?
Northshore.org.
Okay, good. I'm not saying look for a little help there, huh? Look for the pass. News next at 720 WGN.